Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Movie Mastery. It's the show where we watch the movies you suggest. We don't know what we're going to watch until we go to watch it. We got a list of movies a mile long, and we randomly determine. And this week, we've got a doozy. So I am your host, John. Jeff, you are also here.
That is true. I am also here.
You are technically in the room while this happens.
Yeah, no one can take that away from me.
Yeah, you've got that. Yeah. And this week, we are doing Speed Racer.
That's right. We rolled a Speed Racer, a number 19 on our list of 100 movies to watch. Something else will replace it and take its place on the great big list.
The greatest of big lists.
So we're going to be watching what I believe is the Wachowski Brothers Speed Racer film.
Yeah, 2008's Speed Racer.
That is correct. I feel bad now. I know that they're now the Wachowski sisters. So I'm just going to say the Wachowskis, and I'll keep it that way. That'll sound better to me. Okay, so yeah, 2008's Speed Racer. Thank you very much to, Twitter's at Carvool for the suggestion.
Thank you very much. Now, this is one that I have seen before. In fact, I saw this in theaters.
I kind of wish I had seen this in theaters, and I say that looking forward to seeing it soon. I'm generally speaking a fan of the Wachowskis. I know everyone says the last two Matrix movies were terrible, and I don't disagree, but a lot of their other work has been fantastic. I was a huge fan of Sense8.
I never did watch any of that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It takes a while to build. But okay. It's really cool once it gets up and running. So I was a fan of that. I was a fan of Matrix. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie now, especially after watching the trailer, which is like watching a piece of candy rotate under spotlights.
Yeah, no, we watched the trailer for this, and it is, I mean, it's doing its best to try to be the cartoon while also inducing as many seizures as possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Like, if you hadn't told me that the Wachowskis were directing this thing, I would have guessed it was a J.J. Abrams situation, because there's a lot of lens flare and crazy lighting effects and so on.
Oh, this is all lights all the time.
Yeah. So let's see. What do we see in the trailer?
Well, we see Speed Racer, and he's racing. He's racing real hard.
He's going to be chasing after someone.
Yeah. He's jamming down the barrel like he's never coming back.
Is that what the hell's that? Is that a line from?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's fine.
And adventures waiting just to have.
Oh, are they like adventures in Duckburg?
Yeah. Woo.
All right. So let's see. We saw Speed Racer, Trixie, Pops. They all look exactly like they do in the cartoon. They really did an amazing job of casting in this, and I cannot wait to see what's going to be happening here. I mean, in the trailer, you get a shot of Pops being played by John Goodman.
Oh yeah.
Get right out of town. That is perfect.
No, the cast in this movie is amazing, and since I've already seen this, we'll go ahead and get anything that you want to get for predictions for this movie out of the way.
I don't really know too much about what I'm going to be expecting. I was never really a huge Speed Racer fan of the show.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever watched an entire episode of Speed Racer, because it was real boring to me.
It was very formulaic. It's like trying to watch an episode of the old Voltron now. You like enjoy the song. Because, again, you know, you enjoy that Speed Racer song just like you enjoy that fucking amazing old Voltron song. With the da-da-da-da, da-da-da. That song was amazing.
Right.
But then you watch the show and you're like, all right, yep, they're in the Lions. They're in the Lions. Okay, there's some bad guy. Okay, the bad guy's got a Robeast. Yep, okay. Oh, they can't beat the Robeast. Oh, there's a sword. Oh, what do you know? The sword kills it in one hit. They probably should have started with the sword. I don't know why they haven't picked up on that yet.
Yeah, I don't know if there's an episode that I can think of where they beat something with just the Lions.
Yeah, they never use just the Lions, and they also never use just Voltron. It's always the sword.
Yeah.
And they always go to the sword like it's their last resort. Like, I'm wondering if the sword costs a bunch of, like, lives or something when they draw it.
Yeah, every time they do the sword, like, 50 people in their kingdom have to die.
Yeah, that's the only reason that they keep saving it for last. But anyway, I know that Speed Racer was more or less the same thing. There's a race, there's a bad guy, the bad guy has a meeting in a shadowy room. Someone's like, Speed Racer cannot reach the finish line. And then the bad guy's like, don't worry, he will not. And then they have a race, and they try and hit Speed Racer's car, and he uses his jumpy jumps. And then he wins the race and does that thing where he jumps out and does kind of a hell yeah gesture with his arm, and then it freezes around him.
Yeah, he's got that, like, I'm pointing at the air thing.
Yeah, he's in the middle of doing the hustle.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah, he stops mid-hustle as he jumps out of his car.
Well, you know Speed Racer's all about that hustle.
Also, there's a little kid and a monkey in his trunk, and he never figures that shit out and puts, like, mouse traps back there or something.
Or locks it.
Yeah, just lock the trunk.
Come on, man.
Come on, Speed.
Get it together. Or before you leave, just open the trunk and peek inside, and then leave.
Oh, also, there's a point where the bad guys almost always are about to win, and then Racer X shows up and, like, bonks the bad guy car.
Yeah, Racer X, the best.
Yeah, he was in the trailer.
Yeah?
You got a little shot of
him.
Well,
of course, you can't have Speed Racer without Racer X.
Right, I mean, it would be boring. I feel like Racer X is what most people remember about Speed Racer. It's kind of the cool part, because otherwise you've got, like a Japanese Fred Jones in a boring car.
Well, yeah, because Speed Racer was always the, like, I'm the Lily White, play-by-the-rules, like, good guy hero, and then Racer X was like, I'm a badass. I'm like the Punisher of racing.
Yeah, I mean, right down to the point where Speed has to wear that ascot.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that thing shows up in the movie. I didn't see it in any of the trailer, but I'm really hoping it's in there. So
yeah,
I'm
the trailer just has a whole bunch of him in, like, leather jumpsuit.
Yeah. So I'm going to predict a shot of the ascot.
Yeah, get that shot of the ascot.
I want an ascot shot. And other than that, I'm probably just going to leave this one to... I'm going to watch it on its own merit. It's a relatively modern movie by directors I like. I feel like I'm going to have a tough time predicting horrible things.
All right. Well, then, let's go ahead and watch Speed Racer. We'll be right back with our review of 2008's Speed Racer.
Go, Speed Racer! Go, Speed Racer! Go, Speed Racer! Go! Go, Speed Racer!
Go, Speed Racer, go.
All right. Well, this was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I would go that far.
You don't think it was awesome?
It is one of those movies that's just like, oh, that's visually sort of interesting, but is otherwise kind of bad.
That's all I want. The visual interest of this movie sold me from start to finish. It's flashy. It's candy-colored. Granted, some of the CGI in the car race scenes is like sub-video game bad.
Oh, yeah. Like... you're watching this, and a lot of the racetracks that they use look like they just came out of, like, F-Zero or something.
Yeah, there's one race in particular, and it turns out it's a dream sequence race, but it looks like it came on its DVD of techno music in, like, 2004. Like, just supposed to bliss out and listen to Robert Miles' trance music and watch these cars race around and not really just kind of bounce off each other like pinballs.
Oh, man. The one that is when they're in Fiji, that entire racetrack looks like Sonic should be running around it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Like, you should just see golden rings lining the track, and the cars have to get the rings.
Yeah, no, that entire racetrack, I'm like, oh, man, he's going at the speed of sound.
Only one way to go. Got to follow his rainbow. Man, that song gets stuck in your head. That game was especially terrible. I think that was from Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, every Sonic game.
Oh, no, it's most Sonic games, but primarily Sonic 2006 is what you want to say. Sonic 2006 is the one where half the team quit before the game was finished, and it features Sonic falling in love with a human woman.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, when he was like a knight.
Oh, that's a different game.
That is a different game where he falls in love with a regular human woman?
That is right, yeah, but Sonic 2006 is still worse.
Wow.
It's kind of the nadir of Sonic games. There are portions of it that are functionally unplayable.
Nice.
It's one of those games you need like an extra computer to help you beat. And even then, it's not perfect.
No.
It's like you got to have Deep Blue there with you, and even he's like, I don't know, man, this game's kind of bad.
I don't know, bro. Are you sure?
Look, can we just play Jeopardy again or like chess or something?
Come on, man.
This is... Why did you build a giant supercomputer to play Sonic 2006?
Why would you do this to me? Why would you make me conscious and then make me play Sonic 2006?
I mean, thank you for not making me play the one where Knuckles has to run around in a canyon while Knuckles sings a rap song about how he has to run around in a canyon.
Oh, man, that is straight up just some Will Smith shit.
It is very much Will Smith shit. That's again, from Sonic Adventure 2 or whatever. And it's Knuckles. Every Knuckles scene is him having to collect crap in a canyon, and... there's a rap song playing behind him about how he has to collect crap in a canyon and also about how he has mixed feelings for a evil bat. It's like, yeah, Rouge the bat. She's got my head spinning around. I'm a Knuckles. He goes, whoa, man. What is happening?
Yo, I'm in a canyon. I'm getting some stuff. Knuckles. I'm a Knuckles.
Yeah, that's literally what's happening all the way through his stages.
Yeah, in the background, you just hear, I'm Kirk Cameron, and I'm here to say, I'm going to rap in a Sonic way.
I want to play Kirk Cameron Adventure 2.
Right? You can never get it.
Yeah, it's very rare.
It only came out for the 3DO.
I had a friend with a 3DO. The only thing I remember about his 3DO was that it had Samurai Showdown on it, and we played a shitload of that.
Nice.
And it was like very original Samurai Showdown, where like not only did they have the L and R swap thing, but also they wrote it out that way on screen. So there was an English knight dude in his primary attack power. When he used it to kill someone, it would display on screen Plasma Braid.
Wow.
It was pretty great. And then also that he had some helicopter top-down game that always played Ride of the Valkyries. Like that was the soundtrack to that song.
Nice.
I still don't remember what the hell that was.
Some game.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, to the movie.
Anyway, so there was a movie we watched. We talked about video games a lot, but that's because this movie was that.
This movie was a video game that you don't get to control.
Yep.
Let's see. It starts with a brief shot of some crazy racing.
Well, yeah. Essentially, the beginning of this movie is just a back and forth between present day and flashback.
Yes, and you get to find out that while Speed Racer is an amazing race car driver, he has trouble with beating his dead brother's best times.
Yeah, he has trouble beating his dead brother.
Yeah.
Just a real hard time with it.
He could beat a dead horse all day long, and so
all
can
day.
We. That's one of our specialties. But he can't beat his dead brother.
Yeah,
1d6 man. 1d6 damage at a time.
I mean, his dead brother just keeps running around being like, bleh.
His dead brother's like 2 years older, so he knows how to throw fireballs in Street Fighter 2, and it's just not fair.
he plays Guile, and he just sits there crouching, and every time he tries to get near, he just does that kick.
Oh, it's either the kick or the Sonic Boom, and there's nothing you can do about it.
What an asshole.
It's so cheap. Air throws. Oh man, that is a simpler time remembrance. Do you remember a simpler time when friends were better than you at Street Fighter 2 and you thought that they were cheating?
Capcom remembers.
Capcom does remember. Capcom remembers, and that's why it makes every boss unbeatable in all of its games.
Yeah.
It's like, here, try and beat this guy. His name is Seth. What's his power? Raw, unadulterated bullshit. Steaming and putrid. Even flies will not draw near it.
Ha-ha.
All right, back to the movie.
So, yeah.
So we get to see his childhood, and wouldn't you know it, he really likes cars.
Yeah, so as a kid, he is what I can only describe as completely incapable of doing anything. Like, all he can do is think about driving cars. He can't take tests.
Yeah, he can't. He can make car noises. He can talk briefly about cars.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's almost like he's got a disability, but, you know, he does actually graduate high school at some point.
But I think we find out that it's basically just because of Trixie. And he doesn't say because you let me cheat off you, but I assume that's what it was.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that she literally, like, got him through high school. She paid a lot of bribes out.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got random helicopter money, so clearly there's cash coming from somewhere.
Got that helicopter money.
Man, helicopters are expensive. You don't just buy a helicopter on a whim.
Oh, no. You got to plan that out.
Yeah, you got to put down some installment plans. You got to get a down payment. You got to trade in a cheaper helicopter.
Oh, man, I got this old 10-year-old helicopter. It's still got a CD drive in it. No aux cable.
Just one USB, and it's kind of janky.
Man, I got to get me a new helicopter.
So she helps him get through high school, and he can't take any tests. And they briefly discuss his brother Rex Racer, who was still an alive good racer at this point.
Yeah, and Rex, his older brother by like what looks like maybe 15 years older than him.
Yeah, it's something like that.
And he is a famous racer, and so Little Speed looks up to Rex a whole lot.
Yes. And then he also meets Trixie when he's a little kid. He's driving around in a go-kart while a rich girl says rich girl stuff about how his family is terrible until Trixie decks her.
Yep.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah. Everyone likes seeing kids beat the crap out of each other.
I just like watching kids get punched. It's like
that's just something I like.
When I can see that in a movie, and when the movie's not just about that, you know, I don't want to watch Radio Flyer again, for example. But when a kid gets punched in a movie, and you're like, ha ha, stupid kid, that's a good time.
Yeah, when another kid punches a kid, and they're like, ha, yeah,
showed
you deserved that.
Yeah, that you had that coming.
You dumb kid.
So, anyway, we find out that Speed Racer is one of the best racers of all time. And then we get to see that by watching him do some local...
The Thunderhead track.
The Thunderhead track race. And let's go ahead and describe what racing is like in this movie. First of all, it appears to not matter in the slightest which direction cars are pointed.
Not really. I mean, cars are allowed to essentially just spin and then immediately go back to whatever they were doing. Like,
yeah.
There is no... I lost control in this.
No, it's...
You are either dead or still driving.
And there are long sequences where cars are pointing the wrong direction and still just going the same speed as the other cars. And not like spinning, not just like hydroplaning around, but like just driving backwards as fast as other nearby cars.
Yeah, they spun around and then they just are reverse driving as fast as other cars are going forward.
Yeah, so that's
and
a thing.
And then eventually they'll spin around again.
So mostly the car racing is beautiful and fun to watch. It's very frenetic and colorful. It's just silly. It's just a lot of complicated spins.
It's the kind of thing where I go, you know, if that's what car racing was actually like, obviously people would be into it. Because NASCAR is just going around a circle a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
But if it was doing, like, loop-de-loops and jumping over people and, like, spinning around, that would be amazing. And, as we see in this first race, if car racing was any time a car exploded right before it did so, you were covered in a weird foam and then bounced away.
Yeah, you get bounced off. And it's like when you watch old G.I. Joe and you see the explosion and then the Americans digitally added a parachute. You can just, for like a split second, you can see a parachute and you're like, yep, that guy's fine. That car had a parachute.
Never mind. Everything's fine here.
That's what this movie is with bubbles that save all the drivers. So there's these huge explosions and then you see one brief second of a shot of a bubble near the, and you're like, oh, okay, he's in that bubble. He's fine.
Yeah, and the sequence we learn eventually that Rex Racer eventually died, or so everyone thinks, in a cross-country race.
Yeah.
And it was in like an ice cave and then died.
Yeah.
Now, the weird thing to me is they're like, oh, yeah, there was some explosion in a cave and he died. What are you talking about? Because we've seen in this movie dozens of cars explode all over the place, and no one has died.
No, his bubble generator must have malfunctioned. That's got to be it. By the way, there's a whole bunch of shit where cars mess with other cars in this movie. Like, they just have crazy weapons and they bang each other and so on.
Yeah, just like I do.
Just like just constantly banging each other.
Yeah, when I have crazy weapons and I bang people.
Yeah. But I feel like the best weapon you could possibly build is to just hack nearby cars and set off their little emergency bubble generator.
Or just have that bubble as a gun. Be like, bubbles.
Oh, yeah, just shoot bubbles at people, and then they bubble out of their car and fly away.
Yeah.
Or just like, bubble their car.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, I bubbled your car, and now it's done.
Yeah, your car's a bubble. You can't go anywhere. This was easy. But anyway, there's no real danger or risk, although apparently Rex Racer managed to find a way to die. So what that means is that for like a year or so, Pops Racer hates racing, and then he gets over it and lets Speed Racer race.
Yep.
I'm going to say race a lot during this.
Yeah, well, it's having his actual for reals last name be Racer and his for reals first name be Speed. I'm like, man, you just had to know.
Well, you think about it. Like, okay, the older brother is Rex Racer, which while not necessary, I mean, that means King Racer, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty rad. That means he's a badass racer, and you know he's always going to be one. So Rex Racer. Then you got Speed Racer. So he's going to be a sweet, fast race car driver. There's no question. Then you got his little brother, Spritle.
Yeah, Spritle Racer.
Spritle Racer, which implies...
He's going to be a dipshit little asshole.
He's going to be that kid from the Sandlot, and you're going to hate him.
Oh, he's going to be the absolute worst. That's what the name Spritle means.
That's all Spritle could possibly mean.
Look, if you have a kid and you're like, man, I really hope this kid is a little weenus, and he runs around and he's just a big goober.
Constantly causing problems for us and never really doing anything good.
Mostly obsessed with being an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Name your kid Spritle.
Spritle's definitely the right name for that kid.
Yeah, Spritle.
Get him a chimp, too.
You probably need to get him a chimp.
They really downplay Chim Chim in this movie, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Chim Chim's in there, and he's a real-life chimp and everything, played by two chimps. And
oh, two chimps. He's my favorite rapper.
Two chimps.
Anyway.
I think he did that rap about Knuckles in a canyon.
I'm pretty sure two chimps' famous rap was... Knuckles in a canyon, gathering stuff. Knuckles, 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 Knuckles.
Confused sexually about a bat. I'm Knuckles.
Confused sexually about a bat. Knuckles. I mean, I don't care about a bat. I don't want to
I have
hold
no,
her in my arms.
I have no sexual confusion about a bat. I just want to sexually touch that bat. I'm two chimps.
Two chimps want the bat.
God damn it, that's so bad. All right, so yeah, Spritel's a little piece of shit. That's I think
we can all agree on this.
Early establishment of the character of Spritel, he's an annoying little piece of shit.
Yep. You know, even as a kid, and I understand that they're like, oh, we need to put a little kid in there so that little kids have someone to identify with. Even as a child, things like Spritel or any of the little kids that show up on these types of movies or shows, I was never like, oh, yeah, that guy's rad. He gets to hang out with a cool dude. I'm always like, man, get the fuck out of here.
No, dude, it is a pantheon of annoying characters that everyone hates. It has never once worked.
No.
No one's ever been like, fuck yeah. I think the one time it's ever kind of worked for anyone was Short Round.
Yeah. Even then, he wasn't like the worst. He was just kind of like, I'm here and I'm running around and I'm doing stuff. But he wasn't like, I'm going to slip and hit up you with a pie.
Yeah, it's never that. It's never him going like, I got to get in a fight and I won and I learned a lesson about crossing the street responsibly. Listen, let me just rattle a few of them off to me, and you just give me your one-word immediate reaction to what I'm doing. Okay,
all right, here we go.
Word association. Marvin, Wendy, and Wonder Dog.
Why?
Zan, Jaina, and Gleep.
Ew.
Scrappy Doo.
Ah!
The little kid who hung around with Godzuki.
Get out.
See, look at this. You can just do this all day. They're never good.
No. All of the little kids in these shows, you're just like, even as a child, I do not identify with you. I mostly just hate that you are there because it means some little annoying kid is there instead of a cool kid.
Yeah,
like me.
Or that there's no action being focused on the main character, which is the reason you're watching. Every time you see Zan turn into a fucking bucket of water, you're like, man, I could be watching Superman do some shit.
Oh, yeah. It's all of that.
Yeah.
Anytime there's some little kid, they're like, oh, we better cut to this little kid being an idiot. And you're like, ugh.
Like, I remember in season 3 of The Real Ghostbusters, they added some extra little kid friends for Slimer.
Wow.
Can you imagine wanting to watch that when the Ghostbusters are nearby? Like, oh, I could watch the adventures of Egon and Winston and so on. Or I could watch these three kids who hang around with Slimer all the time. One of them's got a skateboard. One of them's a girl.
I know that that must play well to some kids. But as a child myself, never.
I can't imagine it's ever worked for anyone. You never see kids wearing Scrappy Doo merchandise. You never see kids clamoring for the return of Riff Raff. Is that right? It's Flim Flam. Excuse
yeah,
me.
Riff Raff.
Riff Raff. People, kids love Riff Raff because he's an adult who does awesome shit in his movie. Puts his hair in an updo, points a fork at someone as if it was a laser. People love Riff Raff.
Oh, yeah. You know what Riff Raff would have nowadays, though, is a man bun.
He probably would have a man bun. But no, I was thinking of Flim Flam, the little kid from the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
The best Scooby-Doo show.
And even then, you don't want Flim Flam on the shot.
No, but it had Flim Flam and Scrappy. It was just the worst for that.
The only reason it was an okay Scooby-Doo show is because it had Vincent Price on it.
Yeah.
Like actual Vincent Price.
That was the only thing that was good about that.
Yeah. So, okay. God, where are we?
Okay, so, yeah, we find out that... in the past, everything was crappy, but now it's fine, and Speed Racer is a rad racer, and he is about to beat the track record for the Thunderhead course, which his brother has set, and right before he beats it, he slows down just a little so that his brother can keep the record, but he's super famous because he's an amazing racer, especially after this race, I guess?
Yeah, well, it's a big deal. He did an amazing job at the race, and he managed to not immediately die in a nearby ice cave. So now he's...
So, you know, that's the litmus test.
He's a hot commodity now.
And so what people want is that speed. They want his nuts. They are all over him, including the poor man's Tim Curry.
Yeah, okay. So the bad guy in this movie is a dude named, like, E.P. Royalton.
Yeah,
Which, on-the-nose names are one of the best things about this film.
Yeah, a guy named Royalton who wears all purple and is super rich, and it's amazing.
And he's not Tim Curry. And that's really the problem, is you take away when you're watching this role, is every time he talks, you're like, oh, Tim Curry could do this job.
Yeah, because it is a dude doing his damnedest to have a Tim Curry impersonation.
And every time you're just like, oh, I wish Tim Curry was here. I mean, granted, this movie was made a little late for Tim Curry. He would have been kind of old and frail.
Yeah.
But it's just do another voice because Tim Curry owns that voice and you can't have it.
Yeah, I'm sorry if that's your actual voice.
No, I was just thinking that. I hope that guy doesn't actually sound like that because I could just see him going through life being like, yes, hello. And people being like, dude, stop it. You're not Tim Curry.
Dude, quit doing the Tim Curry impersonation. You don't even sound that much like him. And he'd be like, no, this is my voice. God damn it.
I actually sound like this. Hello. And then, no, you can't. You have to stop that.
No, I'm sorry. We have a cease and desist from Tim Curry
himself. He's just sad for you, man. So anyway.
He's not angry. He's just disappointed.
Anytime this guy's on screen, we're just pretending he's Tim Curry.
Yes. In fact, I may as well just refer to him as Tim Curry from now on. That's his character.
I'm just going to refer to him as Tim Curry-esque.
Yeah.
It's Tim Curry-ish.
No, it's like on a box when they can't say that there's chocolate in it and they say it's chocolatey.
Yeah. So he's Tim Curry creme.
Yeah, it's when you get that cereal that's like real chocolatey flavor. And you're like, oh no. Oh,
so,
no.
So would you say that he's Tim Curry-ty?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
Why not?
He's got some Tim Curry-ty flavor.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's Tim Carob.
Tim Carob, fair enough. All right, so he shows up in a ludicrous, funny-looking jet and eats some pancakes, which actually I love the scene of him eating the pancakes.
Yeah, him with the family is great. They all sit down and eat breakfast, and he's just like doing his best. I'm Tim Curry eating pancakes and raving about it.
Oh, yeah, he's just smarmy and lovely, and he's speaking in German, and he's putting up with sitting next to a goddamn chimp like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And
so he wants to invite Speed Racer and his family to come check out Royalton Industries.
Yeah, because he wants to sponsor Speed as a racer. And we've already heard his dad's sounding like crackpot theories that as soon as people have enough money, they just take over everything and they cheat and racing's bullshit because of industry, and the only honest racer is a racer who doesn't have a sponsor.
Yeah, the big sponsors are all crooks, and you can only trust the little guys.
Yeah. So that's John Goodman. By the way, the mom of Speed Racer in this movie, played by Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, and Trixie, played by Christina Ricci.
Yeah, and Racer X, Matthew Fox. It's an awesome cast.
Yeah, and Speed himself, Emil Hirsch.
Yes, Emil Hirsch, playing Speed Racer, doing a great job at that. So, amazing casting. So Royalton invites the Speed family to visit Royalton Industries, which is like being invited to visit Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, as far as I can tell, in terms of what's happening in there.
Oh, yeah. He's just got some weird bullshit factory that makes cars, but is also just, like, has a winter tunnel for people to get blown through. And
yeah, there's lots of sequences of them driving around in a golf cart, which, by the way, this is my favorite Spritel bit, is they fly there on a crazy wingship lowrider airplane with a glass floor, like 10 feet high over the city. And then when they get out, the Tim Curry-esque is like, hey, let's get in this golf cart. And Spritel's like, cool, a golf cart. Like,
oh, yeah.
What? Why are you impressed by a golf cart?
Like, you just flew here and landed inside of a building with a plane. And then he's like, dude, golf cart.
I'm surprised he didn't immediately try and look for the trunk of it to hide in.
Well, he did sit in the very back, though.
That's true. And then they go down a speedway with a million people on Segways doing a complicated Segway dance dodging sequence to the kind of just a couple frames cut out of the film style that it makes it look like the Madonna Ray of Light video is happening.
Yeah, the style in this, whenever someone isn't just standard talking with someone and having a serious scene, it is frenetic.
Yeah, there's just constant nonsense happening on screen. There's a lot of
there's a lot of white people.
No, well, there's a lot of white people, yes, but there's a lot of wipes, like the transition wipe that use like items. They'll drag an item across screen to change the scene. And this scene has some of my favorites, where they like use pufferfish to change a scene just because there's some water on screen.
Or an owl.
And then penguins. The owl is used to imply that someone is taking classes. And there's an owl. They drag an owl next to a chalkboard across the screen.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was like, what the fuck is this owl doing here?
Just scene wipe. That's all it is. It's a transition. So the movie's got some very inventive visual tricks for montage sequences, of which there are quite a few, but there's always dialogue happening over them. It's not just training montages.
No, I will give it that. There's always someone saying something. And I mean, again, it is very much like the cartoon where people are like, oh no, Speed, you have to look out.
Yeah, except that instead of, you know, looking at the back of Speed's head and then the back of Pops' head so you don't have to film the animation of them talking, there's a million things happening instead of no things.
Yes.
So it's an interesting inventive choice. And there's a lot of little touches like that throughout this movie that really sold it to me. Like, anytime Trixie and Speed get together and there's a lot of flashbulbs going off behind them, the flashbulbs transition quietly into hearts.
Yes.
It's just very visually inventive and cute.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Every racetrack has a ton of little things to notice going on in the background. Mm-hmm.
There's a sequence where there's a fight, for example, and while everyone punches, you get a slow motion crack noise and like a light that flashes off whenever anyone punches anyone else. But when Racer X punches someone, the flash is an X. Like there's an actual X. He punches X's into the driving snow that's happening during the fight sequence.
Yeah.
It's all very clever.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we get to see Royalton Industries, which straight up is the Wonka Vader. There's one room where they're building cars, and it's giant robots handing car parts to other giant robots. There's a sequence where he drives past a bunch of in-training drivers who are like doing like careful acrobatics and super swimming and...
Oh, yeah, and then they drive the golf cart just into a dining hall.
Yeah, which is, it's like driving into any one of those major dinner scenes in a Batman movie. There's a bunch of people gathered around ice sculptures in prom dresses.
Someone's at, like, some craps table.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, just drove it into Monaco.
Yeah, that's it. I have Monaco in my building.
And they meet another one of the racers there, Jack Cannonball Taylor.
Yeah. And he is a several-time Grand Prix winner, and we learn he's going to be going in the Hall of Fame. He's a super big deal.
Yes, he's a super big deal, and he encourages Speed to consider joining the team.
Yeah.
And then they get taken to what would be Speed's house if he accepted, which is a swinging 70s bachelor pad with one of them pools that doesn't have a lip.
Oh, you know, man, one of those danger pools.
Danger pools where the water just starts.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it just goes out over the building and it's glass and you look down and you're just swimming over nothing and you freak out and then you maybe poop yourself a little and then you get out and try to blame it on the monkey.
It's cool though because you're rich. There's people there to clean that poo.
Yeah. And you do it every time.
In fact, you don't even know where the toilet is in your house.
Every time you have to go to the bathroom, you just take a swim and then freak out a little.
Anyway, we get Pops' big speech about how he doesn't necessarily trust rich sponsors.
But if Speed wants to join, then by God, he'll do it.
Right, and then Speed says he wants some time to think about it, and there you go. They go home. We get another little romance sequence between Speed and Trixie.
And the final thing is that Speed decides, you know what? No, I'm not going to sign with you. I'm going to give you a big speech about how
in
my house,
yeah,
like racing is a religion and that anyone who's a big sponsor is basically the devil. And, you know, I do it for the love of the racing, not to win and not to make money. And he tells him about the 43 Grand Prix and how these Stickleton and
Burns
were neck and neck. And it was a bonding moment for him and his dad after his brother had died. And so I love racing. And then we get the heel turn for Royalton.
Right, because we get the whole sequence where he's talking about his dad watching racing and living at home. There's all these montage cool things flashing around behind him. It's like he's given a visual TEDx talk style presentation. Huh. And then all of a sudden Royalton responds with another one where he's like, no, darkness and death.
Let me tell you about racing. Racing is always fixed. In that race of the 43, it was all about this man named Potts who got in an accident and then
caused a merger that increased my percentage by 6 points, causing me to shiver with anticipation.
Come on, Speed Racer. I need you to come up to the lab and see what's on the slab.
I want that so bad. It's the only thing I want from this movie. It's for Tim Curry to be the villain.
Yeah. So he tells him that all the Grand Prix have been fixed and racing is always fixed and it's only about money and power and you need to grow up and be a real race car driver because, like, driving for the love of driving is some baby nonsense.
Yes. And, of course, Speed refuses, and so Royalton sets about ruining his family.
Yeah, so he's like, okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you refuse me, I'm going to make it so that you, A, don't even finish racing. I'm just going to ruin your race career. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sue your family. I'm going to ruin everything about you. You will never race again. Get dunked.
Yes. And Speed responds with, whatever. And his dad is like, whatever. And then people try to ruin them, and the only thing...
And they succeed.
They succeed. The only thing that Speed can think of to do is to get in another race.
Yeah, because...
Always solves the problem, right?
Because we've had a side plot here where actor Rain... You remember Rain?
Oh, yes, I do remember Rain. He was the star of that Wachowski ninja movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is in this mm-hmm. as another racer who's sort of in bed with the mafia.
Yes, and the mafia in this is hilariously over-the-top Irish.
Oh, it's they are insane, weird people.
Yeah, they're it's like your standard Irish kind of grumpy leprechaun looking leader guy, and then one his main thug has those Rutherford B. Hayes style puffy sideburns.
Yeah, get them sideburns, girl.
Yeah, I think that's Rutherford B. Hayes. I can't remember which one of the presidents had those things.
All of them.
Yeah, Ambrose Burnsides, who was not president, but whatever.
It's yeah.
Just big old puffy super sideburns. He's also got some piranhas.
I can't remember what his actual name is, but Rain is...
Taijo Togumisha or something like that, but it's Taijo.
Okay, so yeah. Taijo is the... racer who is in with the mob and knows a lot about them and gets saved by Racer X.
Mm-hmm. With in a really cool sequence where it turns out, you didn't know this at the start of the scene, but all the mob, like they're in a cool lounge room that turns out to be the back of a flatbed truck.
Yeah.
So they pop open a bunch of little gun ports and start shooting at Racer X like they're a pirate ship.
It's amazing.
It's a really cool scene.
And so... Racer X is apparently working with Inspector Detector.
By the way, awesome. Again, a guy in this movie named Inspector Detector.
Yes. And he is trying to uncover all of the dirt for the mafia and Royalton Industries and all that.
He's trying to blow it all wide open.
Yeah. And he blew up three city blocks.
But he gets results, Chief. I assume the Chief's name is like Chief McQueef or something.
Yes. Good. Chief... McQueef.
Chief McQueef, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a pet. It's a goat. It's named Totes.
Yeah, Totes but goat.
So they are going to, now that he lost the qualifying race, did Speed Racer, to get into the Grand Prix because Royalton paid a bunch of racers off to ruin him.
Yes, and indeed they did. They caused him to crash.
Yeah.
But not in such a way that he gets bubbled. I was amazed to find out that even in the scenes where Speed Racer crashes, he doesn't get bubbled, ever.
No. Well, he's never, like, exploded.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, his car was on fire in that one, but that was it.
Yeah. So, the Inspector Detector and Racer X offer him the ability to join in with them because they're like, hey, we're going to go try and do this cross-country race, and if... we get Taijo in first place, it'll stop this hostile takeover of his father's company, and if we do that, then he says he'll give us a file on all the information he's got on the mob and their ties to Royalton and so on and so on.
Yes, and so Pops hates it because that's the same race where Racer X died.
You mean Rex Racer?
I do, I'm sorry, where Rex Racer dies.
God, spoilers, man.
Oh, come on. This show's from like the 60s.
You know, no one's going to put together that Rex Racer was also Racer Rex.
No, that will never happen. So, sorry, Rex Racer died in this same race. So Pops is like, no, hell no. But let's see. Speed goes out and convinces himself to do it with the help of Trixie.
Yeah, and Trixie's like, well, just tell your dad that we're going skiing. We're on a romantic vacation. But instead, you're going to do this cross-country race, and I'm going to be in a helicopter.
I'm going to be in the helicopter, which is the worst part of this movie, is the helicopter sequences. The helicopters never once look real. You don't see them near people ever. You see them floating around like dragonflies, and then it cuts to people in an obvious soundstage pretending to be in helicopters.
Oh, yeah. I mean, which sort of like the show in that it's just, let's cut to the helicopter.
Yeah, but there's never any threat with the helicopters or anything, which is fine. I was kind of vaguely hoping that during the cross-country rally, it would turn out that the helicopter spotters get in fights with each other as well.
I sort of expected that. I didn't realize that it would be just the cars fighting, because it shows other people have helicopters. It's not just Trixie.
Yeah.
So you get a shot of her flying around, and there's like five or six other helicopters also flying around. And I'm just waiting for one of them to be like, oh, fuck you, I'm going to shoot you with something stupid.
Yeah, especially once you realize that a lot of the rally car teams are very themed.
Oh, it is like some 90s wrestling in this.
Yes, there's like a... And then there's a whole sequence of Royalton paying each one of these teams off with something that's relevant to their interests.
Yeah, so diamonds for this girl team.
Yeah, there's an all-ladies team.
And then a bunch of cash for what looks like...
military guys?
Yeah, but like... World War II military guys?
Yeah, they're like plastic army men looking guys. They're just like, yeah, I'm the one who has the minesweeper thing.
And then we get
barbarians.
The barbarians who are paid off in fur.
Fantastic. So there's three teams like that that are just sort of generic, random bad guys. And there's something that we, because the rally is a 2-day event, so they're all to be dispatched on the first day of the event. So
yeah, we get a bunch of fights between all of them.
Yeah.
And they try and murder him in a like a building where they start, and then a desert where they're driving around in.
Yeah. Oh, and it also, this is where we finally get the big technological reveal that Speed Racer's car has all the cool buttons.
Yeah, they finally give him everything, because we've seen the jump before.
Oh my gosh. The jumpy jump gets categorically abused in this movie. There's way too much jumpy jump. And relevantly, there's no bird. They show the bird. They show that he has the button that deploys the bird, and then he never uses the bird.
That is true. It is the only one of the many features on his car that he does not hit.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to seeing the little Speed Racer car bird that never really did all that much of interest.
No. And even then, they were like, oh, and if you hit the G button, you deploy a bird, and it, I don't know, it takes pictures. Who cares?
And sends it back to us. It won't matter, because Trixie's going to be in a helicopter the whole time, but... You know, it's cool. You got to have the G button that deploys the bird because it's part of Speed Racer.
Yeah. So he gets his buzz saws and he gets his dome.
And his shieldy shields. And
yeah, his tire shields, and then his button that gives him new tires.
Yes. And his tire spikes.
Yes. He gets all that.
Yeah. And then you notice right away that he gets defensive equivalents. He's like... They're like, hey, a lot of people are going to deploy these things that shred your tires, so we're going to build you these cool shields for your tires, but you have to press a button for them. The first thing I was thinking was, why? Why not just keep those turned on all the time?
Right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not illegal.
Yeah, to have a little metal shield over your tires. Although, when you finally see them in action, you know why. It's because they come out and defend like a person holding a shield, and it's adorable.
Yeah, they get into a fight with the sword that is trying to poke his tire.
Yeah, it's awesome. A little robot sword comes out and starts trying to poke his tires, and is responded to by a little robot shield.
Yeah, great.
It's cute. And that's one of the ones being the girl team, and their weapons are kind of generic and boring. They have, like, tire blades, and they try to slam into you. And then at one point, one of the girls shows that she has a Gene Simmons tongue.
Yeah, and a little diamond stud.
Yeah, that was funny. But we get a bunch of big fights in the desert between all these different cars, and they're all just jumping over each other and deploying silly weapons and bonking into each other.
Yeah, and they're trying to keep
Taijo from
getting knocked out of the race.
Yeah.
And so they're all doing all their crazy stunts, and Racer X and Speed are being nuts.
Yeah, the barbarians are far and away the most... visually fun part of this sequence.
Oh yeah, because they have the best weapons.
Yeah,
like a guy deploys a couple of giant flails out the back.
Hangs flails out of the back of his car as if that's not going to slow him down tremendously.
No, as if like deploying that wouldn't just immediately stop you.
Yeah, and then he uses his car is one of the only other cars besides Speed and Racer X's that have jumpy jumps, and so he uses his jumpy jumps just to sort of try and flail into people.
Yeah, he's using it because the little depressor things that come out that make you jump, he's trying to smack those into people.
Yeah, he's using them like hammers and then also to hit people with the flails. Another one who gets dispatched right away has a catapult with a beehive in it.
Which is amazing, by the way. Of the weapons that you could use in a race, shooting a beehive at someone with a catapult has to be the best.
It's brilliant. He hits one of the women with it. And so
he hits himself with it.
Oh, does he hit himself? Okay.
Yeah, because he was about to launch it, and then Racer X knocks into him, and it just pops up and back down.
Okay. One of them's got a cannon that shoots just slime. We never saw exactly what that did. Some dude gets shot with slime, and he's out of the race.
Yeah.
And that's it. So there's a big, fun fight, and they manage to use trickery and jumpy jumps to make sure that they don't die, and all the people who were trying to fight with them get bubbled and vanish instead.
Yeah, and the end of the first day, though, because they were all too busy fighting... Snake Oiler.
Yeah, an actual villain from the show, as far as I remember.
Yep, Snake Oiler finishes first on the first day, so he'll have a head start going into day two.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that they are trying to get to win are the bad guys.
Yeah, the bad guys want him to win so that businesses will change or something. Or not change, I don't know, one of those.
So that change will happen to business.
And so overnight, they send ninjas to stop the three people on the team, the Racer X and Taijo and
straight up ninjas show up.
Just ninjas. And they immediately manage to take out Rain because he's just asleep and they drop poison into his lips. And they don't kill him. They just make him all woozy for a while.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we used a poison and he's going to be essentially incapable of doing anything physical for the next, like, 10 hours.
Yes. And then another ninja manages to fire a dart into Racer X's bed, but it turns out that Racer X is awake. He does an amazing sequence where he uses slow motion powers to tie a shirt around his face, and then he beats the shit out of a ninja.
Yep. And then the entire Racer family beats the crap out of the remaining ninja.
The comedy ninja.
Yeah, because you have Chim Chim and Spritel grabbing onto his legs, and then he gets knocked backwards and loses his pants.
Well, he loses his pants. He gets picked up and tossed like a pizza by Pops.
Yeah, Pops, who has like some world wrestling ring or something.
It says Greco-Roman wrestling.
And he just straight up picks him up and spins him around and then tosses him.
It's a class ring, and all it says around the edge is Greco-Roman wrestling. It doesn't even suggest that he's good at it. It's just, he might just be an enthusiast.
Yeah, but the ninja is very worried because he sees that. Yeah, and also Pops is huge.
Oh, no! Yeah. Also, when he gets captured, he caught because he's getting a little syringe ready to inject Speed Racer. And Spritel wakes up and sees him and just goes, ah! Which causes the ninja to go, ah! Which wakes everyone up. Like, the ninja doesn't just go, oh, whatever, I'll kill that kid in a second, and finish the job. He just also starts yelling.
Yeah, it's that thing where you get surprised, and they start yelling, and you start yelling,
yeah,
and then everyone's yelling. Just, it's anarchy.
Just a hilarious comedy ninja sequence occurs.
Yep, they sent the worst ninja for Speed.
Yeah, because he doesn't matter. The only two who really matter are Racer X and Taijo. What they should have done is just fucking kill Taijo. Then he can't win, and we're done.
Yeah, but no.
Well, he gets knocked into wooziness, so he can't drive. So we get a surprise secret reveal where one of the major laps of the race is driven by Trixie instead of by Taijo.
Yeah, so she takes his place in the car dressed like him,
mm-hmm.
and they get another big sequence where they have to fight Snake Oiler, and they get past him,
mm-hmm.
but then they need to change out because they need to get Taijo back in because once they've crossed the finish line, he has to be the one in the car.
Yeah, Trixie can't win the race. So they pull over somewhere in the mountains where they were accosted once again by the hilarious Irish mob. And then they have a crazy fight sequence where everyone's
because Chim Chim throws his own feces in the face of the lead mobster, and then that causes a big fight.
Yeah, and they're all fighting, and it's got a whole bunch of Batman-style super punches and crazy flip kicks and stuff, and eventually they beat the ninjas and they finish the race, and there you go.
Now,
I mean, granted, we get a bunch more race sequence.
Oh, yeah. Well, we get one where, like, Speed Racer uses his spikes to just drive up a mountain.
Yeah, because he gets knocked off the edge of the cliff by Snake Oiler.
Because he's got oil.
He's got oil.
And snakes.
And snakes. He has a catapult that launches snakes.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Of course you do. So, anyway, they get into that same ice cave where Rex Racer mysteriously vanished. But this time, because Speed's such a good driver, he gets around and gets in front of Snake Oiler and knocks Snake Oiler off a cliff.
And he would die except a parachute shows up.
Well, he gets bubbled. Same as always.
Well, you see a parachute.
Oh, do you? Okay.
In his I fly off a cliff scene, you see a parachute open and you're like, this is straight up G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Well, they finish the race and Taijo wins, but wouldn't you know it, he's not exactly a double crosser. He just doesn't really have a file of information on anybody.
Well, the only reason he wanted to win wasn't to stop the merger, but to drive the price way up so that the merger still happens, but they make a lot more money.
In his dad's favor. So he's a dick, but you know, he's not like actively trying to kill anybody.
No.
But his sister isn't very happy about this, so she gives one of his prizes to Speed Racer, which is the ticket to compete in the Grand Prix.
Yeah, and apparently if you're part of the winning team, because the cross country all has teams, that's why there's the Barbarians
race.
And the so-ons.
Yeah.
So because he was part of that team, he can use the invitation to be in the Grand Prix.
Yes, and so he does. And to be honest, this sequence, you know, they deploy all the stops to try and stop Speed Racer from winning the Grand Prix. But even in the movie, this sequence kind of feels like an afterthought. Like the rally race was the big race.
Oh, yeah.
And then this race is like 5 minutes of cool montage stuff, but the rally race was the one that mattered.
Well, yeah, the rally race is mostly the, let's show off all the effects, let's get all of the villains from the TV show in here,
mm-hmm.
let's show off all that, the goofy weapons, we'll do this.
Well, not only that, but Racer X is in that race. So you've got Racer X jumping around and being all cool and visible.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the, like, here's our giant centerpiece race.
This is the spectacle. This is the one that matters. You get to see Trixie race. You get to see Chim Chim doing shit. You get to watch helicopters whipping around. You get to watch Racer X doing cool stuff. This other one's almost just a victory lap.
Well, the final race is mostly just to go, here is Speed Racer defiant against the like all the odds.
Yes.
Because he is now racing in the Grand Prix, and Royalton has told every racer in the race, he will give $1 million to whoever stops Speed.
Yeah, and so the race literally starts with a person in front of Speed just stopping so Speed can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And then Speed, of course, doing the one thing he does, which is use his jumpy jumps.
Yep, because another car is going to come ram him from behind.
Yeah, and in this last race, I don't think Speed deploys any of his other equipment. I think he just uses the jumpies.
Well, no, it's because he's in the Mach 6
He's
now.
In the new car, that's right, and they bothered putting the jumpers in, but nothing else.
Yeah, well, okay. It's just a hydraulic jack to lift up to put new tires on, but he uses it to jump.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole point of those, is that it wasn't actually anything special.
See, I feel like after Thunderhead, when he used them to escape being rammed into and jump over things and so on, that they would become industry standard, that everyone would be like, man, that guy's crazy because he could just leapfrog all over the track. You can't pin him. You can't. He's ignoring the regular rules of racing, because every time you get him caught in a pin or he's trying to angle to get around in front of you, all he does is just jump over you.
Well, yeah, and there are other cars.
Yeah, the Barbarians and Racer X, and that's it.
Well, you do occasionally in the background see a car jumping around or doing whatever.
It's clear that that is his actual gift. He's a pretty good race car driver. He's good at making his car drive around backwards and do flips and spinny things. But really, his primary gift is that he's very good at jumping his car.
He is super good at knowing when to deploy that jump.
Yes, that is his primary superpower, is Speed Racer. So this last race is really just him easily jumping his way around and beating all these other cars, while watching montages of stuff that already occurred in the movie.
And we get a lot of montage sequences of the like the very various people. So you get the announcers, you get his family, you get Royalton, you get the Taijo and his family.
Yeah.
And you have all of them reacting to what he's doing.
Right. And so all of them reacting and also being played in flashback and so on. Yeah, he finally has to race against Cannonball Taylor.
Yep,
the big racer who's now racing in the GRX, the super purple car. And he turns out to be mostly just another racer. Like, at the end, he gets desperate and cheats. But up until that point, he's like, no, we're going to race, and we're racing, and it's fine. I was almost a little disappointed that he deployed the cheaty thing.
Yeah, and the cheaty thing is just a little mechanical arm that goes under the car next to you so that it can't get away from you. And it looks like you've got him in a pin, but you're actually just grabbed a hold of him.
Yes. And Speed Racer figures out that the best way to reveal that this is happening, wouldn't you know it, is to deploy his jumpies. So he jumps and jumps the grabby thing, which is called like a spear claw or something.
Yeah, he jumps both cars so that it shows the underside of them to the cameras.
Yeah.
And so everyone can see what's going on.
And they're like, a cheater! He's a cheater!
Also, Royalton put his fucking insignia right on the cheat device.
Yeah, he put the logo for Royalton Industries just right up in the middle of the cheaty thing, which, that is straight up an evil Dr. Claw type move.
Oh, yeah. He's like, well, I need to know that it's mine.
If I don't do this, then who will know?
So, then he falls behind again because
his car stops. Yeah.
And so he's got to listen to the car. The advice that his brother gave him back in the beginning of the film. Because any sports film, you have to have a flashback to the advice you were given at the beginning of the film.
Yes, and in this case, it was just listen to the car. And meanwhile, we cut to Pops, who's explaining the science of what's about to happen. He's like, if the convergulator transmobilizes,
goes into fifth gear and then hits reverse and then hits the gas, then it'll restart the car. It's like, okay,
well, I'm glad you knew that. You should be driving these things, Pops.
Well, yeah, and then he's got sort of his his helper guy in the sky, which is Sparky.
Yeah, Sparky, who also doesn't know how to do that.
And then the mom is like, oh, but is Speed going to know that? Would Sparky? And apparently neither of them would. And so I just have to go, well, why isn't Pops the one in the booth giving him advice?
Yeah, that seems like it would have been more useful. But anyway, he starts the car, and somehow starting the car super starts the car, so it goes even faster. And he just light speeds his way around the track until it's just him and two cars in front of him, and then they get in a crazy jumpy jump fight, which Speed wins, and then he wins the race, the end.
Yeah. Well, the end is, it's it's almost like 2001, and that everything just starts turning into colors, and he's just flying by and doesn't even notice that there are cars.
Yeah, he's cyclotrons. So he gets all. He's flying down a kaleidoscope, and he hits the big win, and it's very pretty.
Yeah. So he just completely like has an acid trip and then wins.
Yes. And then the ending is that we get to see some spinning newspaper headlines, which I haven't seen in a while.
I love spinning newspaper headline as an ending.
Yeah. So they get a couple spinning newspapers, and they deploy that Racer Industries is doing just fine for itself, and that Royalton has been clapped into old-fashioned prisoner outfits and has been told by a judge that cheaters never prosper.
Yeah.
That was adorable.
Which is great, because we know, before this, the cheaters have prospered a lot.
For a long time. Several of which have died happy after prospering for a very long time.
Yeah.
Oh, we also, we skipped the sequence where Speed, who's super angry about being betrayed by Taijo, goes out for a drive on the family track, and he meets Racer X out there, and he's like, look, you're obviously my brother. You drive
look,
like
you are Rex. I know you're Rex. Come on.
And he takes off his outfit. He's like, I'm not Rex. I'm Matthew Fox. Your brother was some other guy. He didn't look like Matthew Fox. I look like Matthew Fox.
And then he's like, oh, I'm sad about that.
But you get the secret reveal at the ending that he got plastic surgery to look more Matthew Foxy.
Yeah.
Which, that's like the car tech in this movie, where it's like, yeah, you can get plastic surgery to look exactly like a different celebrity instead of looking like a messed up person who got plastic surgery.
Also, like Face Off, apparently changed his voice, too.
Oh, yeah, it also changed his voice, no problem. And his dick size
and
functionality.
And his dick size.
His dick size and functionality, because as you'll recall from Face Off, his wife doesn't notice.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure that there's no way I would notice if the person that I had been married to for many years got naked and looked completely different.
Yeah. Be like, man, you have the same face I'm used to, but when did you get uncircumcised?
How did your innie become an outie?
This is very confusing to me. You've got a lot more weird hairs.
You've got so many moles.
But whatever. I don't care.
But hey, I guess.
You got a Nicolas Cage face. That's all I need.
That's all we all need.
That's right? Nicolas Cage is the good guy. Wait, does he have
Travolta.
He has a Travolta face?
Travolta's the good guy.
Travolta's the good guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I had forgotten. I haven't seen it in a while. All right. Well, we should probably wrap this bad boy up.
There we go. Okay. So the rating system on this, we're going to give it a 1 to 5. That gives us our rating out of 10.
Do we want to do our favorites and least favorites?
Nah, fuck it.
We got some time to kill.
Do we?
Yeah, we got a little time.
We
got a little time to kill.
Do we?
We do.
Do we?
This is a gentle reminder from System Huey. Mastery Corporations Incorporated that we have some time to fill.
We got to fill as much time as possible.
We need like another
Look,
two.
We need stretch it out. Come on. Reference some things from the 90s, will ya? We got to fill time.
Hey, you remember spin art?
Hey, you remember Spirograph?
Spirograph, that's from like the 70s.
You remember Pet Rocks? Oh, I'm fucking this up. Damn it.
Hey, you remember 8-tracks? Hey, you remember barf green as a color that you would actually use in your house?
Oh, speaking of houses, by the way, do you want to take that as your favorite thing in this movie?
That's why I wanted to talk about my favorite thing in the movie.
Okay, go ahead and tell them your favorite thing in the movie.
The visual stuff in this movie is fantastic. It's a very beautiful movie. It's got a lot of pretty things happening. The set decoration, however, for Speed Racer's house is like the 70s as filtered through like a board game. So like there's just amazing lamps and wallpaper. I spent the whole movie, and John can confirm here for me, going, oh my God, I love that wallpaper. Oh my God, I want her dress. I wanted everything from their house because it was like a best of 70s edition.
Yeah. There was no avocado green anywhere.
No,
it was
mostly,
all just weird symbols.
It was mostly whites and oranges. And all of it sort of implied racing and a desire to go.
Yeah, he had a big red couch.
Yeah.
That means the couch goes faster.
Oh, and by the way, regarding my prediction, yes, there is one shot of him in the movie dressed up in the blue shirt with the ascot.
Oh, yes, he does have the ascot at one point.
Yeah, so we actually get to see the traditional Speed Racer outfit and a sequence where he jumps out and does the pose from the opening sequence of the cartoon.
Yep.
So they really hit all the numbers. So there you go. My favorite thing in this movie, the costuming and set pieces for the few shots of the movie that are not obviously green screens.
Yay.
What about you? What was your favorite thing in this film?
Favorite thing in this film is, I'm going to go with the very last race. I actually really liked, not the cross-country one, but the very last one was very interesting to me because it was very Speed Racer is tired of your shit and is going to win.
He's very clearly going to win. It also had one of the coolest visuals in any of the races, which was when he was going down the opening starting stretch, and it had those zebra prints lined on the sides of the walls.
Oh, yeah, and it was doing the, what's that called? The
rotoscoping?
Yeah, rotoscoping.
Yeah.
So it was just stationary pictures of horses, but because they are racing down the track, it looks like these zebras are racing next to them.
Yeah, I think that, it's either rotoscoping or kinema something or other.
Kinesthesiology?
Yeah, it's kinesthesiology. No, I think it's kinescope, but... either way, it's very cool. It's a visually inventive thing to see this sort of cartoon zebra running along the opposite direction on the walls adjacent to them. And you know it's just because they're going crazy fast.
Yeah, I like that last race as just a spectacle for Speed Racer to be like, no, I am the best.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, it was very interesting that the last race was kind of just a foregone conclusion. That it wasn't really about will he win this race, but is he even allowed in this race?
Yeah. So that was neat. That was neat, because normally the sports movies really want to like hinge on the will they, won't they of the final competition, and this was just like, no, Speed is winning.
Yeah, Speed is the best, and his car is amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that.
Okay, so worst thing in the movie for you?
I'm going to say the dream sequence race was so fake-looking that it took me out of the movie a little bit, and I was just laughing at it. So the one that's the race that it's the one where he's describing where the bad guy is describing to Speed how a race would go after Speed turned down his offer.
Except that's not even a dream sequence. That's just the Fiji race.
Well, that's right. Yeah. In any event, it is the ugliest race. Nothing interesting is happening visually in it. It's very Sonic, like we were saying earlier. It looks like they're just driving around on a Sonic track from like the Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
And the cars are just terrible looking. The whole thing is just very fakety fake.
Well, the problem is that one ends real quick.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we have to establish that you do actually lose.
And let's keep in mind here that there are several races in this movie that look fake as all hell, and I love them. So this one in particular just does, it's a combination of fake and visually uninteresting. So it ended up just being my least favorite part to really bother with. I mean, I'm saying that knowing full well that I'm just leaving Spritel and Chim Chim for you. So,
thank you.
So
thank
what would
you
say
that.
Is your least favorite thing in this movie?
Obviously, Spritel. Chim Chim I don't care too much about. There was very little Chim Chim.
Yeah.
He was mostly just in the background of the Spritel shots.
Yeah.
But Spritel is the worst.
Well, he's just Spritel from the cartoon. It's just that Spritel from the cartoon was a bad character.
Yeah, and the problem with it is... it wouldn't even be as bad if what he was doing led to something, because there's a point where when Speed is doing the I'm going to sign a contract or not, and we get that Royalton telling him how racing has always been fixed,
mm-hmm.
during that entire sequence, we keep cutting back to Spritel, who has snuck along and is in the airplane where they had a big thing full of candy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's eating the whole thing of candy, and then he's driving around like an idiot in the golf cart, and he's just doing a whole bunch of stupid crap.
Putting the monkey on his... or the ape, sorry. The ape on his shoulders and pretending to be a scientist.
And none of this matters. Like, there's no point during that sequence where he's like, oh, I was hiding on the plane, but then, like... Royalton and another guy got on the plane and talked about how they were going to try and ruin Speed.
Well,
or...
it gets close. There's a sequence where he's in the car factory pretending to be a scientist, and he sees the prototype spear claw thing.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, that's cheating. But there's no point where he announces to Speed that thing exists or that it matters in any way.
No. His sneaking around and being a big pain in the ass, normally that kind of character is like, okay, I'm super annoying, but I do find out some important information. He's just annoying.
Yeah.
And, like, when Speed wins the Grand Prix at the very end, he comes out and just, like, grabs the trophy and runs around with it. And I'm like, oh, you little shit. That is his trophy. You do not touch Speed Racer's trophy. You are an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no point where he suddenly becomes a relevant character. He doesn't really reveal anything. He's just there as sort of a foil to good things happening.
Oh, also, the absolute most infuriating thing with Spritel in this movie, when...
is it the anime fight sequence?
No.
No?
When
okay.
Spritel and Chim Chim are sitting on the couch trying to watch the cross-country race, they don't know that Speed is out there, and neither does Pops, but he gets caught... when he was told not to be watching it, and in order to divert blame from him, he straight throws Speed under the bus and is like, well, you shouldn't be mad at me. Speed's in that race. And Pops is like, no, he's not. He's skiing with Trixie. Well, then who's driving the Mach 5? And I'm like, you snitch. You get stitches.
Yeah, that is not good little brother behavior.
Oh, you.
Oh. There is also a sequence with Spritel and Chim Chim where Spritel falls asleep while watching anime, and we have to watch him pretending he's in the anime.
Yeah.
Like dreaming it. And it is just boring. I mean, it's as visually inventive as the rest of the movie. There's cool anime stylings happening and so on, but it's got nothing to do with anything.
Nope.
So it's just a scene that happens.
Yep.
So there you go. So those are kind of the weak links of the film.
Yeah, so there you go.
Now we can get to your much vaunted rating system, sir.
All right. What is your rating out of 5?
4. This was awesome. I really enjoyed watching this. There are certain parts I feel like could have been a lot better. There's certain things that didn't happen that I would have liked to see happen. But I've put it on record here before that I like a lot of movies that other people aren't going to like, because what I like in movies is stylization.
Yeah, you are a huge fan of stylized movies.
I am. I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time is Moulin Rouge, because of all the crazy, you know, oh, the set explodes behind them. I like movies that don't just treat the background as verite, as if it's like, well, there's a mountain back there. We got to keep a mountain back there. Why? You've got a set, you've got a stage, you've got cameras, you've got tricks. Use them. Visual medium. Be inventive. And this movie is inventive from start to finish.
Okay.
So it's a 4 from me.
All right. I'm going to give it the same rating that I did when I saw this in theaters, which is going to be a 3. It's not bad. It's not particularly good. It's sort of interesting to watch, but watching it again, I'm like, yeah, there's no reason to watch this outside of a movie theater, though, because, like you're saying, the visuals are what you're going in for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly amazing when you're watching it on a big screen.
That is true. But you know what? There are big home screens now, so that's not an impossibility for people.
Not this one, though. Not what we watched.
No, we watched on my little 32-inch or whatever that is. And it's not amazing, but it got the job done.
Yeah, so there we go. We'll give it a 7 out of 10, apparently.
Let me ask you a quick question there. What would you give on a 1 to 5 Matrix Reloaded?
Which one was that? The third one?
Yes. I'm sorry, it's not called Reloaded. That's the second one. Revolutions is the
okay,
third one.
Third one.
And that's the one I'd like to hear.
Okay. Oh, God. Probably maybe like a 1.5.
Yeah?
Maybe a 2.
Okay, so you're saying that this is better than a Matrix sequel.
Oh, yeah. Like, by a country mile.
What about the second Matrix sequel? The one with fucking the fight?
The Architect?
Well, no, he's in the third one. Yeah.
No, he's in the second one. That's when he gets revealed.
Oh, okay. All
after
right.
We find out that there are ghosts and vampires and werewolves.
Well, let's do it the easy way. The second one is the one with...
Merovingian.
Yeah, the Merovingian and the Burly fight. The fight with like 50 Agent Smiths.
Yeah.
So where would you rank that one?
I mean, that's also going to be like a 2.
Okay, so this is better than both Matrix sequels.
Yes.
All right, so that's good to know.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, all right, so there you go. 7 out of 10.
There you go.
Is that a C+, a B- somewhere in there?
That's a decent score.
Yeah, I liked it. I like this movie a lot. I'd recommend people check it out if they haven't. I mean, I could see where people would have skipped this one because it was the next film after, was it? I think it might be next film after Revolution, but might also be the next film after Ninja, which is the forgotten Wachowski movie that I've never seen, and I just know that it exists.
Yeah, nope. Never seen it.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. There is Speed Racer for you. Thank you so much for listening. We will, of course, be back in a couple weeks with another Movie Mastery, probably in theaters this now.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't voted yet, get in there and vote. It's on the System Mastery in Theaters Now page. It's got the movies that are coming out in August. Right now, I believe Sausage Party has the lead, but there's no reason it couldn't be Suicide Squad. So,
yeah, if you want us to get real angry at some movie, boy howdy, let us know.
Either one of those will get the job done.
So, yeah, you can go ahead and find that on SystemMasteryPodcast.com. And, of course, you can find all of our social media stuff is under System Mastery. So, Twitter and Facebook, @Gmail, all that.
Reddit's the other one now,
yep,
yeah.
We got a subreddit, and you can make suggestions for Movie Mastery on the subreddit or on the comment section for our big list on
the
website.
Best places to do it. If it's on Twitter, it'll probably get lost.
But thank you so much for listening. We appreciate everything you do. We love that you listen to us. And if you want to support us, you can always go to our Patreon page.
Which we have a new goal on, by the way. If you haven't been to our Patreon page in a while, then stop on by. The new goal is a fairly modest one. All we want to do is take ads off the website.
Yeah, we just want to go ad-free for you when you go to the website. That way you don't have to bother with that. And it'll give us a little extra storage space, so that any of our backlog will still be available years from now.
That's important, because right now we are at 78% full.
Yeah, so we need to get just a little bit more storage space.
Yeah, if we go up to the pro level, we'll end up at, I think we'll, it'll push us from 78 to about 51% full, if my math is right. And then eventually we'll set a new goal to get to the one where we're straight up have unlimited storage and we can do podcasts forever until we die.
Forever.
That's what we want. But for now, very modest goal. We're just trying to go ad-free and get a little more storage space.
So yeah, if you want to go ahead and support us and you have not yet, go ahead and go over to our Patreon page. If you do support us, thank you so much. That, of course, gets you our bonus content for System Mastery and our undying love. And if you do support us, just give us more. Just keep giving us all your money. All of your money. Give it to me.
We now accept beloved childhood pets.
So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Yeah. But until then, have a good time.